It's a blessing to be in the house of God on Sunday night with the saints of the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not sure if they had my title up there, but there was a byline to that title. I don't know if it got made. But my title tonight is Power and Grace, A Bug's Life. And that'll make more sense as we go, but I really believe in 2 Kings 17 and verse 36 says, "The Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt." The Lord who brought you up. He didn't bring you sideways, he didn't bring you down, he brought you up. From the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm. Him you will fear and him you will worship and to him you will offer sacrifice. For we are certainly held in the tension of his power and his outstretched arm, his grace, that by his power we can stand. By his power we see the magnificence of our God. In Proverbs 6:6 it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." The bug's life. And this sermon became, or was inspired by, a few weeks ago we were setting up, and I just share a little bit of a story, but I could say we have a property with a nice lavish pool, but really it's just one of the Walmart blow-up pools to cool off in the summer. And every year it gets beat up a little more and gets beat up a little more, and this year it had a number of holes from the years before and the years of abuse. And so we tried to fix some stuff, and so I set my children to it, and they did a great job to begin with, but there was needing of patience and endurance. And if your children are like my children, the endurance quickly wore off at waiting for this product to dry. And so as I thought about it, I thought, well, I think I can put a little more time into this. And so I kind of shared my time of fixing the pool and, to be honest, napping a little bit and catching a little bit of sun. But it was interesting because as I laid there and you slowly kind of worked this product around, I began to realize I was amongst a microcosm of other life within this pool. And as I sat there, and you have to, just to give you, shed some light, we use a product called epoxy, which epoxy is very gooey, if you've ever worked with anything like epoxy, but it gets very hard, and it slowly kind of builds itself up. And so as I sat there kind of working this epoxy and waiting for it, and without sharing too much, I noticed a little bug run into my epoxy. And I unfortunately, God said, go to the ant, but the ant ran into the epoxy, and he became part of the gecko art of our pool. And I thought, boy, that poor ant. And as I sat there, I realized there were other bugs around, and it was kind of amusing to me at first, but then I realized, you know, I have the power of the life of the bug in my hand. I can allow them to go into the epoxy, or I can hold them back. And as I began to think about this, and this was just kind of amusing at first, but then I think God began to speak to me. Because I realized that for most of us, we merely are bugs in life when it really comes down to it. That we live in this massive microcosm of life, but in the majesty and the greatness of who God is, we really are like a little bug on the dot of life. And yet God, in his power and his outstretched hand, gives life to us and gives us purpose and gives us an opportunity. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 1 and verse 20 says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses and all the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called, and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. And I also will laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, and then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, the complacencies of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. It's wisdom speaking. And they seem like harsh words, but really they're words of grace. Because we live in this microcosm of life, and if we won't stop and listen, if we won't stop and wait, if we won't take heed to what God is calling us into, we are like the bugs walking into the glue, and there's really no hope for us. We're stuck in the muck and the mire of our life, and we look around wondering, is there any hope? Is there any help for me? And as I sat there contemplating and watching, another little bug came along. And I had a little stick that I was stirring with. And I thought, boy, I wonder what this bug is thinking right now. And as I sat there, and I don't know if you're as simple as I do, but I think about what bugs think about. Just because I realize it kind of relates to my own life, when there's times when I'm walking through life and I'm wondering, where is God in this? God seems so far off and so up there, so far beyond my comprehension in my own finite mind. Yet he's there. And so as I watched this little bug and he was taking the destiny of the ant, I put the log in front of him. And I looked on the little expression of his face and he looked quite ticked off. As he had to meander around that log, he had to make a new path, he had to make a new way, and it was disrupting his agenda. And so he made it around my log and he quickly started to beeline back, and I moved the log again. And I'm sure he stamped his little foot and said, life's not fair. I'm wanting to go there and it's not putting me in the place I want to be. But in his finite wisdom, where he wanted to be was in the goo. It was in the mess. It was the end of his destiny. And I began to realize the grace of God, because sometimes there's obstacles in our life and we don't understand why. We may not understand, but it might be just God keeping us from the goo of our own wisdom and our own knowledge and of our own misunderstanding. That God is a God of power. Ezra 8 and 22 says, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him. But his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. God draws in Job 24, verse 22. God draws the mighty away with his power, and he rises up, but no man is sure of life. He gives them security, and they rely on it, yet his eyes are on their ways. Psalm 29 and verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. By his voice, he can break a tree, a mighty cedar tree. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion, like a young and wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. And the amazing thing about this all-powerful God and this all-knowing God and this almighty God is that he knows you by name. Acts 15 and verse 18 says, known to God from eternity are all his works. Psalm 139 and verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, no matter where you run, you will not escape God. Even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knows you. Do you know him? Jeremiah 9 and 23 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians 28 and verse 8 says, or verse 9 says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. For certainly knowing him is more than knowing about him. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name did we not cast out demons? In your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, it's not as much about what you can do for God, but what God in Christ has done for you. And we can walk through life and we can think, oh, life is difficult, life isn't fair. But just like the bug who walked across my path, sometimes there are obstacles that we don't understand. There are things that maybe are there to save us and not for our harm. And in Job 13 and verse 15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job, who lived as a righteous man, yet lost everything. Family, wealth, reputation, health. Said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king in Daniel 3:16. Said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you answers concerning this matter. For if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. He is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known that we are not going to serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden image that you have set up. That we have an understanding of the faith and the grace of God. That even if he doesn't save me in this moment, out of this situation, out of this conflict, I will yet praise him and I will yet trust him. because I know in the bigger picture, in the time and in eternity, he has a better plan for me. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree does not blossom nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. That God's grace is sufficient for us, that his hand is outstretched to us, that in those moments when maybe it seems like he's not right there, you know his hand is there, that he is powerful and gracious. And as that little bug finally made a new way, I stopped and took a nap, because I'm human. But I know God doesn't take a nap. He says he does not sleep nor slumber. And he knows us intimately. And then the interesting thing was, and this is just really an aside, but a mosquito flew by. And I chased the mosquito with a little epoxy on my stick. But he was too fast for me. I couldn't catch him. And I thought, how does this fit into my sermon? But I realized there are bugs in life. They're so busy looking to suck the blood out of some other life, they don't have time for God. They're just looking for that next meal. And they're chasing around and don't have a moment for God or for eternity. So my point one or number one, if you didn't realize, was God is powerful. Point number two is I'm not. Romans 3 and verse 10 says, as is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That my righteousness is as filthy rags, says in Scripture. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God, there have all turned aside. They're like the little mosquito. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit, and the poisons of asps is on their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. God is powerful, I am not. What I deserve, I don't get. Because I deserve the wrath and the judgment of a righteous God. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as one man sin entered the world, as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. And in verse 16, but the free gift is not like the offense. See, there is a gift of God that is free to each one of us. And the last time I checked, a free gift is a free gift. You know, someone paid for that gift so that it's free to you. Well, someone paid for this gift to make it free. That I can come in my sin and my unrighteousness, I can come to the throne room of grace with confidence because of the free gift. For by one man's offense many died, but much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgments which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if one by man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ, through the one Jesus Christ. That I can reign in life, not because of what I have done, but because of what He has done. For the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23. And you know, many of you know these scriptures. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, through His power and through His righteousness, He is justified to eliminate any one of us because of our rebellion and our sin. And yet He chose to love us and to share His grace with us. Matthew 9 and 6 says, but that you may know the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, arise and take up your bed. Go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. That God who is powerful and God who is righteous also has the power over death and life, and the power to forgive sin. And that power is sufficient for each one of us. And so we are held in the balance of His power, but then we are also held in His outstretched arm. That God, who is justified to look over His glasses and say, you dirty, rotten sinner, doesn't leave us in the muck and mire of our pool. But He reaches down. He says, I'm going to send my Son, and I'm going to sacrifice my Son, because I have the power to forgive. And as He reached down from heaven in that moment, as we, as little bugs in our little life, He reached down and He says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to offer you. And all it took was your ears to hear the message of the gospel and respond, yes, Lord, forgive me. And God scooped up your little bug body, said, you no longer are the frail little thing, but I'm going to make you a child of God. I'm going to bring you up and sit you the right, as it were, at the right hand of the Father, because you walk as a child of God with Jesus. He says, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to make you my child. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to care for you. The most amazing gift is that God is gracious. I studied world religions. There's not many other gods in the world that are very gracious. Check it out. They're also very fickle. One day they're happy, one day they're sad, one day they're loving you, the next day they're slaying you. I only know of one God that's worthy of my trust. I know of one God that has the power to take me out of my mess, instead of looking at the sin, is willing to cover it with His own grace. God is powerful, I am not. Point number three is God is gracious. Romans 9 and 22 says, what if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? What a statement of a loving God. A God who would just be justified to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that He may make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He has called, not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were still sinners. Think of the person you really don't like. I know you love everyone, but while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Not now with all your beautiful faces and your redeemed life. And it was when you were a sinner. You had your back turned to God. He reached down and he said, while you were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the message of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12, you're getting a lot of scripture tonight because it's better to read scripture than to preach. God's wisdom over human wisdom. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he is strong. Are you feeling weak tonight? Jesus Christ is strong. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of our sins. Hebrews 2 and 14 says, inasmuch then as children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That God came down and died on a cross, that he could release us from the goo of our life, from the destiny of death and bondage. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold. The genuineness of your faith, more precious in gold, than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans 5 and verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. As we heard this morning, and it just echoed tonight, grace is not license. That God covers our sin. But that does not give us license, because it was a costly grace, not a cheap grace. It was real blood he shed. It was real death he felt. It was real rejection of the Heavenly Father. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being rejected by the Father? The judgment of our sin was put upon him. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. In Jude 4, it says, certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke 19 and 42 says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surrounding you and closing you in on every side and level you and your children within you. And they will not leave you. They will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Because you didn't know the time of your visitation. And I don't know who's all here tonight, but as I was thinking in the prayer room, maybe you're listening on, you know, not cassette tape, CD, iPod, something. Maybe you're driving in your car and you're the mosquito in life. You've avoided everything. You just keep zinging back and forth. And, you know, as I thought about that analogy, I know every summer when I go to the car wash, there's mosquitoes on my windshield. They miss the hour of their visitation. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what, you know, life is short, life is brief. And if this is your hour of visitation, if the Lord is knocking on your heart, now is the time. Now is the time. He says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we will confess our sins. And so I would encourage you tonight as we close, Pastor Mark, you can come. Because I know my God is powerful. I know my God is justified. But I know he's offered grace. He's offered the ability to be separate, to come out, to come into a relationship with him. That his grace is sufficient for each one of us. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. There's the same Lord over all. And he is rich to all who call on his name. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's stand tonight. I started with 2 Kings 17 and 36. The Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm. Him shall you fear and him shall you worship. To him shall you offer sacrifice. If you're here tonight, if you don't know the Lord, if you're listening in your car, pull over. Because this is your hour. This may be your only moment. And I know I'm being strong, but this is strong. I've seen too many mosquitoes, and you know what I mean. They were snuffed short because they weren't prepared. That this really is a bug's life. And yet we have the opportunity to be children of God. And so if that's you tonight, I encourage you to come forward. If it's you in your car, in your basement, wherever you are, get on your knees. Because God's grace is sufficient for you. And he wants to take you out of those obstacles and set you upon a rock. It's to give you life and hope, a future, a destiny, a name. A name that is above every other name. He wants to name you with him. And I would encourage you tonight as you come, God is here and willing and powerful. And the other side of this is there's people to pray for you, and we're going to dismiss shortly, but maybe there's some obstacles that have come into your life and you felt like God's left you, or that God's being difficult or mean. And maybe those obstacles are just his way of directing you away from the real goo of life. And I would encourage you to come back to him, to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Because you will face various trials. But we have a God we serve who is far greater than anything we face on this earth. And maybe tonight you need prayer. Maybe it's a desperate time for you, and I'd encourage you to come. There'll be those who pray for you. And just as we close, and I'm going to pray, but I just encourage you in that we serve a God who is powerful, we serve a God who is gracious, and a God who is willing. Lord, I thank you for each person here, God. And Lord, I pray your blessing on each of those as they make that response to you, Jesus. And that, Lord, as we walk through this life and as we face various trials and different things, God, may we always remember that, as it were, we really are just bugs on a planet. And yet you made us something. You made us someone. You knew us by name, God. And you said, my grace is sufficient for you, and I will take you out of that place. And so, Lord, tonight we just confess our own inabilities, our own sins, God. We say, God, be gracious and merciful upon us. And we love you, Lord. Amen. If you want to come, feel free to come. Pastor Mark will close us, and you are dismissed.